Tag. An unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect Dharma is rarely met with, even in 100,000 million kalpas. Having it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words. Good evening again, everybody. Thanks for being here. Another week. So, a monk asked Jiaojiao, what is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? The teacher, Jiaojiao, replied, the oak tree in the courtyard. This is case 37 from the Mumon Khan, another super famous one. And here again, we have the great master Jiaojiao, or Joshu in Japanese. We first met way back in number one, same master who, when asked by a monk whether a dog has Buddha nature, basically said, not. So a monk asked him, in this case, what is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? And the teacher replied, the oak tree in the courtyard. So here the monks are at it again, asking these basic questions, or maybe like asking the question, which shows up in different forms for all of us, right? You probably don't go around asking people what's the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West. It's just one form of many forms. What is the meaning of life? How does it all work? What is practice? What is Dharma? How can we and all beings be free from suffering? What is Buddha? What is awakening? What is God, right? How does it go? So maybe there's really just one question, right? That's kind of what these koans seem to be suggesting to us. There's just one fundamental question, and you can use whatever words you want. You know, here's some words from the Chan tradition in China. You can have your own words, but it's still the question. And the answer in this case, maybe always, seems to be more or less, it's right in front of you. The oak tree in the courtyard. So apparently the Chinese are a little ambiguous about the species of tree. Side botanical note. Because sometimes it's translated as the cypress tree in the courtyard. Does it matter which kind of tree it is? Not really. And yes, absolutely, it all matters. So what are we seeking? You know, what are you seeking? What am I seeking? What are we seeking? What do we need to know? We're seeking happiness, peace of mind, stability, a resolution of the COVID crisis, or without too much more death, or the resolution of the next crisis after that, or the other crises that are happening alongside this bigger crisis. And I think the thing that's interesting, though, is that the mind that's seeking is also the mind that's aware of the lack, right? Otherwise, why would you be seeking? That we seek happiness because we're aware of a lack of happiness, right? We're not as happy as we want to be. We seek stability, so we're aware of instability. So it makes you wonder, you know, how does it actually work? Was there already a lack there and then you noticed it and set about doing something about it? Or does the seeking mind, you know, somehow create the lack? You know, is ignorance bliss in some way? Was there a lack there before we noticed it? Does the lack matter if we're not noticing it? Is it even there? So there's a lot of questions, I think, to consider. And I think it's worth considering, you know, we don't think about it too much, but it's worth considering. How does lack work, you know, for each of us moment to moment? And could we have a healthier relationship to it all, right? So like several of us here, I really enjoy bird watching. That's my story. And I think for me, do you have this too? I feel like everything I do, I'm kind of like fair to middling, like pretty good, you know, but not great. Not totally ignorant, but kind of, you know, I'm an intermediate, like I'm on the intermediate slopes of everything, including bird watching. I know most of the common species, but not all of them. There's plenty of birds in the book that I've never seen that I feel like I should have. And that feels like a lack. How come I can't get it together and learn more and find more birds? And one of my particular areas of weakness in my connection to the avian world all around us is a set of colorful little birds called warblers. You know warblers? I don't think I'm alone in this. Probably many of us don't know about warblers, or probably a few of us do. Maybe you've never heard of them before. And yet, they're out there. They're small, beautiful, colorful birds. And I just don't seem to see them in real life, just in the book. And then to make things sort of better and worse, I'm increasingly aware that other people are seeing them. For years, I was on an email chain that people would send emails about birds they were seeing, mostly expert birders in the local community. And now everything's on Facebook. So I'm in a Facebook group for birders, and people there put these beautiful pictures on constantly. And it's inspiring, you know, on the one hand, it's really inspiring. And it's nice to have more birds in Facebook, and it reduces the relative amount of politics, you know, because they're amazing, you know. Our bird life is incredible. Some of the species are just unbelievably beautiful. You know, you could be a great artist working in visual arts forever, and you would never come up with something that beautiful, I think. And my awareness of the many beautiful birds around here that I'm not seeing sends waves of lack through me, and jealousy, and comparing myself to other bird watchers. How the heck can Joe Mech, who is a local birding celebrity, go out day after day? He has like a circuit of favorite spots, it appears. And every time he goes, he sees multiple incredible birds and also manages to take beautiful pictures of them. And he's constantly posting on Facebook. It's inspiring and really annoying. And sometimes I'll try to follow in his footsteps. I think, okay, he's an expert, I'll follow him. So he said he went to Semiahmoo, so the next day or so, I'll try to go to Semiahmoo. And he saw 8 or 10 lovely species. I'll see like 1 or 2, maybe 3. And he saw usually some species I'd never seen before, and so I'm all excited. Maybe I'll see the long-tailed duck. No. I don't see the species. I just see ones I already had seen before. Still, not bad. Gets me outside. I'm happy. You know, I have like a medium good camera. I take a few medium pictures. Not as beautiful as his, but still there's a sense of lack. So what is it about Joe Mech, the expert bird watcher? Is he better than me? Is he more patient? I think he's retired, so he probably has a lot more time to spend. Is he just more perceptive? Perception is kind of strange, right? As Dogen points out, you can only see as far as your eye of practice can reach. And I'm convinced Dogen was talking about bird watching, actually. So do Joe's eyes just see birds and trees that I cannot see, or in bushes or on the water? Probably Joe knows a lot more bird songs than I do, and maybe the songs are drawing him consciously or unconsciously to the right bushes. So we could also think about the ears of practice. You can only hear as much as your ears of practice can hear. So back to warblers in particular. I don't think any of the warblers stay in our area over the winter. They go to warmer climes. And there are a few that come here and stay all summer and breed here. But the majority of them are passing through on their way further north in the summer to places with more bugs for them to eat. They're all primarily insectivorous. And so this is warbler time right now. They're passing through or coming to stay. And sure enough, Joe Mech and the other expert birders are posting tons of pictures of warblers. And they're outrageous. They're gorgeous. Patches of yellow and red and orange and contrasting blacks, and they're pretty small, but in their beautiful pictures, they're blown up from their incredible expensive zoom lenses, you know, and their brilliant expertise as photographers. And one woman even posted pictures that she took out of her living room window of her backyard. Unbelievable. She saw orange crown warblers and Nashville warblers and Wilson's warblers and Townsend warblers, even the awkwardly named McGillivray's warbler. I guess you have to be Scottish to say that one. So what's the deal there? Does this other woman have like better plants or perfect bird feeders? They're so beautiful. They make me think of the birds I got to see the one time when I went to Costa Rica. You don't have to go to Costa Rica. They're all around us, and yet they aren't, you know? I can't see them. Can't seem to find them. And I've been spending more time outside lately, going on walks and paddles, looking for birds. So maybe you weren't aware before I told you all about all this, about your potential lack of warbler sightings. So I'm sorry to inform you about a lack that you have in your life, because it's been bugging me a little bit. I'm like, what should I do, you know? So before I sat down to write this talk this afternoon, I decided to go on a walk in the neighborhood. And my binoculars were lying there on the chair. I don't usually take them on neighborhood walks, but they were sitting there because I had yesterday been to Whatcom Falls Park looking for warblers and not finding any. I found a few bush tits. They're kind of cute. Not so colorful, though. And I saw a hooded merganser on Scudder Pond, but not a warbler. So I was not satisfied by my trip. And it was funny, you know, I don't usually wear binoculars around the neighborhood, and I felt a little conspicuous stepping out the front door and staring at trees and bushes all around the house with my binoculars. But I soon kind of relaxed about worrying about feeling self-conscious and thought, you know, why not just really look carefully right in my own neighborhood? What can it hurt? And I was walking along in my neighborhood thinking about all this. I started noticing that I was really hearing a lot of bird song. It's the middle of the afternoon, but there's a lot of bird song. Much of it was from common species, house sparrows, starlings, robins, crows, and some of those, as you probably know, are actually from Europe originally. So they're exotics and they're low-class citizens in the birding world. I was thinking they're kind of like an awkward relative that nobody in the family likes all that much, but they are birds, you know. But there are other songs too. And I wasn't sure if that was really, if all the songs were really explained by these common ones that I do kind of know the songs. So I started slowing down and looking more carefully and tuning in more and noticing little shapes flitting around and crossing, flying high above streets and in between bushes. You know, this is just in the lettered streets, not some beautiful park, you know, just trees and plants and bushes people have planted over the years. The dogwoods are starting and the cherries are almost done, probably just like in your neighborhood. I started noticing there were trees around I never noticed before. I've been around this neighborhood for 20 something years. One of my neighbors has some quite tall aspen trees, never noticed that before. And I was slowing down, I'm looking, and then bam, you probably guessed exactly, you probably already guessed where the story's going. I see in a bush in my neighborhood, a couple blocks from the house, a small brightly colored bird I had never seen before in my life. Patches of bright yellow scattered around this kind of streaky grayish brown body. Bright yellow on the throat, a little bit on the top of the head, on the sides, and a little yellow patch right above the tail. I looked it up, no question. And the name of this bird comes from this patch of yellow above the tail. It was a yellow-rumped warbler. Like, whoa. I kept looking in the tree and in others nearby and, you know, kept sort of trying to stay in the zone with this thing. And I saw a bunch of more birds flitting around and sure enough, more yellow-rumped warblers. And later on the walk, another walk later, I saw another group of 10 or 20. I think I saw about 40 yellow-rumped warblers today, which I'd never seen before in my life. And there they were, right in my neighborhood. All these years. So sometimes what we're looking for is right in front of us, right? Seek and you shall find, but we don't know how to seek. That's the problem with that expression. We're focused elsewhere. We're distracted by our lack. It doesn't occur to us to look. We're in a hurry, even if we don't think we're in a hurry. It's beauty, you know? There's so much beauty all around us and within us. And it's flitting by, right? Undetected. Calling to us in its high little chirps and trills. The warblers have kind of high-pitched calls too. So you really have to be paying attention. So maybe that's kind of how it was for the monk in tonight's story. What's the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? You can imagine the teacher just pointing out the window and there's the oak tree seen outside, right? Look, look, right in front of you. That's it. That's it. So the koan, it turns out, is just the beginning of the story, and there's a little bit more that's recorded in the some of the other books about these old monks. So here's a little more from the story. After receiving this answer, the oak tree in the garden, in response to his question, the monk next says, and he's kind of complaining a little bit, "Please don't teach me with reference to outside things. Please, teacher. Don't teach me with reference to outside things." So Jiaozhou says, I don't teach you with reference to outside things. So the monk asks this question again. Well, what is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? And Jiaozhou replies, the oak tree in the garden. Outside, inside. Don't teach me with reference to outside things. Lack, gain. It's all worth considering, right? We don't think about these things because we're so enmeshed and in the middle of them and bounced around by them. But, you know, it is really interesting to spend some time. So we're lucky we have this Dharma and these funny old stories to trigger us to consider these issues. You know, that we perceive this self, right? Separate from the world, from the birds, and our thoughts bouncing around and feelings as if they were separate too. And we want it all to be better, right? We're not satisfied with the inside or the outside. That's the grasping that leads to our suffering, right? We want more, better, happier, more birds, more happiness, less insane leaders, you know, better public health systems, whatever it is. But isn't the creator in a way of all of this, inside and outside, the mind, and isn't the barrier to having all these things that we think we want also the mind? You know, the mind that prioritizes the short term over the long term, the mind that's distracted, the mind in which the thought never occurs to us that it might be right in front of us. It hadn't occurred to me that there might be lovely warblers in the bushes a few blocks away. I was planning to make an early morning run back to see more parks, follow Joe Mesh around some more. Didn't occur to the mind. Could be right there. And this mind that believes in lack too, right? You know, lack of skill, lack of intelligence, lack of clarity, lack of fortitude, lack of being the right kind of person, right? So I think Jiaozhou's encouragement here, as he points out the window of his interview room to the oak tree, really could, we could really focus on this in a really simple way. Sometimes part of the answer to our complex craziness is simple. What if it really is right here? It might not be so simple to actually experience that and find it and feel it and know it deeply, but what if it's right here, the oak tree in the courtyard? Your happiness is right here. What if your joy and stability is right here? What if what you're looking for is just right here? But the other thing that's strange is the way the mind seems to do perception and realization. Like, I'm sure the monk had noticed the oak tree in the courtyard, right? He walked by it 1,000 times, probably, in between the different halls of the monastery. Same with us, right? We've noticed the oak tree in the courtyard, but have we really seen it, you know? Have we really taken it in? We really entered into its presence within us and without us. So realization is so layered, isn't it? And we've all had experiences like this, just seeing something a little more deeply, like, wow. And that's part of what we love about nature, I think, too, right? You know, whether you're a bird watcher or just like to wander around under the trees, you know, sometimes you see it a little more fully and it's so beautiful. But everything's nature. But the oak trees help us, right? Nature helps us. The oak's so strong and graceful. And we're strong and graceful, too, right? We're not just awkward and shaky, like our mind of lack likes to think. Or maybe it's more accurate and complete to say it's both, really, it's both. We are strong and shaky. We are graceful and awkward. You know, so figuring out, like so-called figuring out these koans or doing a ton of meditation or, you know, finding the right practice, the right teacher, isn't going to solve it. Isn't going to make us only the strong and graceful oak. It isn't going to remove all the idea of lack, right? Good luck with that. There's never going to be a lack of lack. But maybe it'll help us see more completely that it's right here. Abundance and lack are right here. Another famous Dogen quote, he talks about that we can leap beyond abundance and lack. So it's right here and we're beyond the abundance and beyond the lack and beyond all of it. So oaks makes me think of growing up under the big spreading valley oaks of California, which I miss. But I can also appreciate our slender, tall, Gary oaks. There's a bunch of them by the City Hall if you're ever down there. So there's so much right here and there's also so much we miss, right? What do you miss? And what can you appreciate about how things are now? And besides, there's probably some gorgeous warblers flitting around through the tall Gary oaks anyway. So I want to end with a picture. I realize in this medium, I can show you a picture. That's cool, huh? I can share the screen. Here's what I saw today. I didn't take that picture, but that's what I saw. The yellow wumped warbler. Beautiful, huh? Right there. Stop the recording.